Good morning, Corey Myers sitting in for Brian Shackman this morning. I am so excited to talk to Dr. Jennifer Kanaan, critical care medicine and a sleep disorder doctor, which, doctor, first of all, welcome this morning. There are so many questions I have, but would you be okay if I started with mouth tape?
Sure.
Have you seen this stuff?
I have.
Okay. How do you
all the rage?
Yes. How do you feel about that? Now, I am a mouth breather, and from what I understand, it does not help your sleep or help you get a good night's sleep if you are breathing through your mouth. You're better off breathing through your nose.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of mouth taping.
Great.
I think, yeah, I think kind of the biggest issue in my mind is that you're literally putting a Band-Aid over a problem that probably needs to be fixed. So if you're someone who breathes through their mouth and you snore, possibly you have untreated sleep apnea. And that's something that your doctor really should address. Because we know it has long-term consequences if untreated. It can lead to an increased risk of heart disease, stroke. It can affect, the possibility you may develop dementia in the future. So it's a really good thing to figure out if you have it or not.
That is so interesting. So I was also reading that if you have sinus issues, that can affect it as well.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of reasons why people may breathe through their mouths.
You know,
they could have nasal congestion, they could have nasal polyps, they could have untreated sleep apnea, they could have a deviated septum, they could have sinus issues. And with the mouth taping, I think you kind of assume that you're correcting the problem when in fact you're not.
That's terrifying to me. Like, to tape my mouth closed, I had enough trouble wearing a mask for a year. Holy moly. There's just no way.
Yeah.
And then they put the Breathe Right strip on their nose because that will open up the nasal passages. And now they're getting more air in. Are you okay with those?
Yeah, I think the Breathe Right strips are kind of a fine way to go. I think, you know, if we take a step back and we look at why people mouth tape, I think, you know, conceptually they're starting to go down the right direction, right? They recognize that in an ideal world, people shouldn't be breathing through their mouths and it's not really normal to snore. And so step one would be to find out, do you have sleep apnea, yes or no? Why are you breathing exclusively through your mouth? You know, should you be seeing an ENT physician? If it looks like you have benign snoring and there's really nothing they can offer, then maybe you should consider things like sleeping on your side or looking to have medications prescribed to kind of open up those nasal passages. There certainly are a lot of things that can be explored with your physician and the team, and that would be a great place to start as opposed to self-medicating with tape.
Yeah, not a fan. I never will be. There is just no way. No way. So I'm glad that you said that. But it's so all over social media right now that I'm sure a lot of, Gen Z is looking at that going, oh, my God, I have to mouth tape. And they're the ones that really need more sleep. I mean, you know, depending on their school schedule or their after, you know, school curricular activities. I mean, and I read a study that said a lack of sleep in teenagers contributes to mental health issues like anxiety and depression. Is that true?
Absolutely. It's a bidirectional path, meaning that sleep can worsen anxiety and depression. And if you're depressed, you also can require more sleep. So it goes both ways. But you're 100% correct that sleep is critical for good mental health. We're really seeing on social media kind of this resurgence of an interest in sleep, which is great. They have things like Sleepy Girl Mocktail and kind of people having these bedtime routines. So there are some positive things that people are doing on social media, for example, focusing on sleep and the importance of sleep. I think that's great. I think we just have to be careful with the messaging because, you know, the influencers and the people on social media, they really have tremendous capability to influence people's behavior. And so they have to be careful with the information that they share and make sure that it's medically accurate.
For our teenagers, what is best as far as trying to help them get a good night's sleep? I mean, I've seen plenty of, you know, kids, oh, I take melatonin chewies, and then, you know, somebody else with, you can't keep your phone in your room, or make sure you don't have LED lights on. Or, I mean, where do we start?
It's a little bit of a challenge, primarily because teenagers are forced to go to high school at an early time. So it is a challenge. I would say if there was anything to really focus on, I would say it's the blue wavelength of light. So powering down those devices an hour before bedtime is really important. The blue wavelength of light will reset your internal clock. Teenagers in and of themselves have a different internal clock than you and I do. It's set differently. They tend to live in a different time zone. So they tend to want to go to bed later and wake up later. That's just biologically how they're wired.
Oh, they definitely live in a different time zone. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right. So if we know that as a parent, we can really be vigilant about turning off devices an hour before bedtime. And it's hard. I have kids in high school, and it continues to be a challenge. But I think that's really important. If there's someone who has trouble going to bed, particularly on Sunday nights, you have to look closely at the weekend schedule. People tend to get a little bit off kilter on the weekends, stay up late and, you know, sleep in till 1, 2, 3 in the afternoon. And that can really damage your ability to go to bed at a normal time on Sundays.
Right. And you think that they would learn by watching their parents. Like, again, I worked in morning radio for like over 30 years. I was in bed sometimes at 6 or 6:30. And you got to get a good night's sleep. Otherwise, you cannot function the next day. I don't know how many times I've gotten that phone call from school. So-and-so's at the nurse and they're sick. Well, because they're sick because they didn't get a good night's sleep. I know my kid, you know, so it is important, but you don't want to get into a fight with them over the phone. So maybe just have a discussion first about, you know, the phone and the lights and all of that and the break. And I don't know, maybe share an ice cream an hour before bedtime or something, right?
Sure. I think that's a great idea. I think kind of looking to things that they value. So they value a lot, interpersonal relationships, relationships with their friends. And there are good studies that show with insufficient sleep, it affects your relationships dramatically. It also can affect your athletic performance. There are plenty of studies that look at foul shot accuracy, for example, with basketball. It's dramatically improved with a good night's sleep. So if you have a student athlete, focusing in on that and really hammering home how you're going to do better in your games and in practice, and you're going to respond better to your coaches if you've had a good night's sleep. Your skin will definitely look better if you've had a good night's sleep. So, you know, trying to find those touch points for your teen, things that are important to them, and talking about that and how it connects back to sleep can be very important.
There you go. Bribe them with a trip to Sephora. Whatever works at this point.
There you go.
That would work. And Dr. Jennifer Kanaan, thank you for joining me here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Okay, thank you.